Couple things before we get going off of here. Definitely want to talk about our new sponsor, which is the Working Dog Coffee. Okay, this is from Brennan Sweeney down in North Carolina. Has a coffee company down there, and something about that company is that. There's so many people I know that mindlessly consume coffee through disturbing products on the market. And the solution we have is offering an organic coffee that doesn't have any of the nasty side effects. That's a poorly regulated energy drink. The only products you'll need on the label are 100% organic coffee with organic flavoring. Our two flavors, which is the Malt and the Burner, are a great mix of a high caffeine product and a classic Colombian favorite blend for coffee drinkers. You can use the code CHATS for 15% off, and every bag you buy will help support Working Dogs charities around the country. Again, that is code CHATS for the coffee. Now, also, we have to talk about the other sponsor of this podcast. What's the other sponsor for this podcast? You can believe it. It is Team Builder. So let's talk about Team Builder. Team Builder is the software for performance coaches around the world. Their powerhouse platform provides coaches with an elevated experience when it comes to program development, data tracking, and staying connected with athletes and clients. Team Builder is full of tools that coaches need, like multiple max training methods, 16 plus reports, evaluation testing, and goal setting, to name a few. Coaches also have access to consultations with team builders and house sports scientists to help manage and analyze data. Head to teambuilder.com and sign up with the promo code CONJUGATE to receive a 30-day free trial as well as a 52-week football workout program. Enjoy this episode of the Conjugate Chats. And welcome back to another episode of the Conjugate Chats. Again, I believe it's February 3rd. Yep, it's a Saturday. I got on Antoine McCray. I hope I pronounced that right.
Yeah, exactly right.
All right, sweet man. Welcome to the Conjugate Chats, man. It's awesome to have you on. I've heard good things about you from several others, so I'm ready to chop it up, man.
Oh, for sure. I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely, man. So talk to us a little bit about your athletic career into your strength conditioning career. I know that you were a collegiate fullback at one point.
Yes, sir.
So talk about that real quick.
All right. So, coming out of high school, like I'm way up in high school, born and raised in Greenville, South Carolina. So I actually did a strength coach at the high school I actually went to. So I graduated from Way Hampton in 2016, ended up taking the opportunity to go play at Gardner-Webb University, so small Division One in North Carolina. Originally went there as a spur linebacker, so outside linebacker role. Got too heavy. Our defensive coordinator changed, and he wanted more of like a nickel type body. And I knew, like I said, I'm 230 pounds. I can't cover these slots anymore. So I ended up switching over to the offensive side of the ball as an H-back tight end type of body. Played there. And then I ended up transferring to Lenoir Rhyne for my last year. So another Division II powerhouse. So I played Division I and then one of the best Division IIs in the nation. And then after the collegiate career, I had opportunities to go play overseas. I didn't take them. I had arena ball opportunities. Decided to sit a year. I went to a National Arena League training camp with the team in Texas. The game was just too different for me. So it was hard for me to just. Offensive side was about the same, but trying to play defense in the arena league was a little difficult. So after that, ended up deciding to retire from football. But my strength and conditioning journey really begins, I want to say around about my junior year of college. That's once you get deep into your major. I was lucky at Gardner-Webb. Our exercise science program is so in depth that we have a strength conditioning course. We had a exercise phys course. We had a lot of these things where we were required to go see, to do weight room observation hours. But we weren't allowed, if we were athletes, we weren't allowed to watch our own sport. So a lot of times I would go, when our strength coach had baseball, when it's softball, wrestling, tennis, golf, and we were required to, get like 10 or so hours in there. So after that junior year, I got to do an internship. I ended up doing my internship at a private facility the summer of 2019. And then I would continue to drive back and forth because I was only about an hour from home. I would drive an hour every twice a week during the fall because I got injured that fall. So I was kind of free to almost do whatever. That spring, I would do the same thing. I'd go 2 days a week. Then, like I said, obviously COVID hit. Once we came back, to open, once we were allowed to open up, I was there. Ended up working there for 2 years. Got out of that situation, went to a new facility, which I love my new facility to death. Which is why I like say I work the two jobs because I love the what I do at 11-11 Elite Training. My high school job and my private job are about 5 to 8 minute difference. So I'm very lucky, very fortunate the way everything's kind of fell in my favor. I mean, especially because the high school job I have now, there was talks of it not even being an opening. And actually, I wasn't even the first guy offered a job because in the state of South Carolina, you have to be an educator. My degree's in not in education. I didn't have an education certification. So I had to go through the process of I had to go to alternative certification school, I had to take the PE practice exam. And the school was almost to the point where they were like, well, we don't want to wait on him because we don't know if he'll pass and all this and that. Once again, I got lucky again, and the person that was offered a job ended up not taking it. And like I said, they waited for me, and everything happened the way it was supposed to. So I'm back home, loving it. Like I said, it's now going to my second semester. Everything's been great.
Awesome, man. And that was one of my questions for you was, are you a licensed teacher at your school? Is that how you got hired that way, or did they just have you contracted out, or how does that work? So that kind of cleared up that question there for me.
Actually kind of funny because the original plan was, like I said, they had no clue if there was going to be a PE opening. So obviously I stayed in contact with the football program, like I said, being one of the alum that was playing in college. So our football team's head coach had reached out to me sometime early spring, like around February, March, and they were going to contract me to do speed and agility. So I was kind of already there in place. And like I said, just so happened there ended up being a PE opening. And like I said, I was one of the first people they contacted. And that is how it went.
Everything kind of falls in place for a reason, man. So that's awesome there. So talk to us about your day in the private sector, and then you go between the high school and the private sector. You work two jobs basically. How does that work? I only do the one job at the high school, man, and I come home, I'm exhausted. I can't imagine going to the private facility or vice versa, high school and then go in the private sector and do the same thing. So how's that work out for you? I mean, what's your daily routine look like?
All right, so like I said, because I'm so busy, I have to wake up every day at 4. And like I said, I wake up, I start working out about 4:30. Our high school group, we have a two high school groups, so our morning one starts at around 6. I have an assistant with me, so a lot of times he's kind of in charge of that one, and then I'll kind of be around, which I was good. Like I never wanted to feel like a boss. Like I always kind of want to be like a leader. So that's cool to kind of watch him evolve and get his feet wet in coaching, and you see his confidence and the way he's able to lead sessions improve as it's happened. But when 6:30 gets here, we have an adult athletes group. So you have to be either a former athlete or have some sort of weight room background. So I treat the adult athlete group as if they were in a high school or college strength conditioning program. So it's not like group fitness. Like I have a background in group fitness. Like I did that for 2 years, and it was great, good experience to meet good people, but I knew it wasn't my passion. So that group goes from about 6:30 to 7:30. Once that group finishes, I go to the high school, set up whatever I needs to be set up. In my weight room, get the slides correct for the workout of the day. I go through. I have three classes. My first block is a football and lacrosse mix, and then there's also some general students in there. And then my second block is weightlifting one. So these kids have almost no weight room background. And then my third block is a weightlifting one, a one, two, and three. So this is a mixed combo, some weight room experience, some not. I get my fourth block planning off. So usually I take that time to program, or if I gotta put in grades, like I said, as a teacher, I have to do grades. And then after school at 4 o'clock, I'll have a in-season group. So right now the only group I have in season is wrestling. So they come from 4 to 4:30. So I keep it real quick, like hit our main movements, hit an explosive movement. And it's so keep about maybe like two or three tiers usually. So I try to get them in and out right with between about 15 to 30 minutes. Then I have an off-season group, which starts at 4:30. We go from 4:30 to 5:45. That's Monday through Thursday. And right now I kind of just I'm having more of our football guys that couldn't get into our class, so our freshmen or even our middle school group. But I've had our soccer team there, a baseball team there, some volleyball players that came. And then once that happens, I run home real fast. Like I said, I'm lucky. Like all the jobs and my courses are all in a straight line. I'm able to hit back roads from my high school, get to my apartment, drop my stuff off, cook my dinner if I need to, eat my dinner, go up the road again, and I'm at my facility. I get there 6:30, 6:45, and I have our elite another elite high school group at 7. They go from 7 to 8, 8:15, and I come home. I got either get my clothes together, eat a snack, shower, and then I'm in bed. So this is my day.
Hey man, it's a busy body, man. Just a
Yeah,
busy body there.
I don't have kids or a wife, so this is time to be busy. So
I was wondering about that. It's like, once you have a partner and kids and stuff like that, man, time becomes, you have all this time, and it just kind of shortens down after you get all that. Let's kind of backtrack a little bit. I'm kind of interested in the wrestling programming. I wrestled in high school. So we didn't lift in wrestling. Basically, all the football guys got lifting done in football, and then we went to wrestling, and then it just kind of stopped. So talk to us about how like you program for wrestling, because I'm very interested in your off pre and in season for wrestling.
So the biggest thing when you think about wrestling, it's a sport where they need to be powerful under fatigue. I know a lot of times we talk about power, we're thinking about, oh, real quick, explosive, a long run, basketball player dunking. But if you watch a wrestling match, we're still asking these kids to be extremely powerful after they wrestled for 3 minutes with a guy, and you're still asking them to be able to take him down and be able to control his body, keep grip. So one thing I implemented a lot of this year, so trying to still produce that fatigue, but also keep them fresh at the same time. What I've implemented for our main movements at a time, we've done pause reps, so I've had them pause to an isometric for the first rep. Then after that, we'll just do regular reps with no tempo. I went and after going to their first match. The biggest thing I think about anytime you need to program, sometimes you need to go look at your athletes. So I went to one of their earlier matches, and like I said, that first round we looked really good. Like, I mean, really good. But once it got to that second and third, I was like, okay, we're tired and we have no power, no strength. So I was like, okay, I gotta get us more time and attention, and I also need us to be a little bit more powerful in fatigue. So we started doing heavy bar jumps, heavy weighted jumps, seated jumps. So anytime I can get like almost like a compromised position from that seated position, or having a weight, which almost, I mean, we're looking probably like 50 to 70% ask you to jump. Like, that's a lot of weight. And a lot of coaches would say like, oh, that's too much weight to get the output that you need for a jump. But it's when you look at the constraints of your sport, they're not going to be, they're going to, they're, it's fine if they're powerful at 20%, but they're not going against 20%. I need them to be able to handle a man. I mean, if you look at, I mean, we got 285 pounders. Like, yes, I need them powerful, but there's also a almost 300 pound man that's also against them. So, like I said, just real quick, like heavy jumps, compromised position. We've done some depth jumps, depth landings, and then I didn't do any cleans or anything, because a lot of the wrestlers didn't get into the weight room until about November, and that was close to their sport. So just the time it takes to teach a clean, I was like, I'd rather just bar jump and, like I said, I end up getting a pretty good output from it.
Awesome, man. And you're think I was sitting there thinking about wrestling while you're sitting there speaking about it too. I was like, yeah, they need time under tension. You mentioned time under tension, isometrics. That's an interesting take on the loads for your jumps as well. You know, I've always done the 10, the 15, 20% somewhere in there when we do barbells, but I never, you know, I never thought about having, you know, 200, 250-pound person on top of you, and you still have to be explosive under that load as well. I mean, that's I guess that's just the application of understanding of the demands of sport, and then what we can do in the weight room too.
Yeah, and then like, and then also when you ask somebody to jump that heavy, they're obviously putting a lot of effort into it. But as far as the fatigue they will get, I would say, out in my opinion, I would say it'd be less than if they were to be jumping with a 20%. Because if one thing of the distance of the fall, I know it's a lot more science to it. But as far as keeping fatigue, I mean, I even did it with our basketball players in the winter when they were getting to playing the season. We went heavy jumps. Got they're getting a plenty of unweighted jumps in practice. So I was like, okay, well, let me go on the other side of the spectrum. Let's go heavy in the weight room, one to two jumps, because I know you're going to get plenty of unweighted, powerful jumps in practice and games.
So, do you go by weight class with your athletes as well? So, like, if a 132 class, do you put like 80% of that of his body weight on his back? Like, how do you approach that?
So with the wrestlers coming as late as they did, I didn't even have time to even program, have numbers or even test them. So I believe auto regulation is actually a really good thing. I know some people dislike it. Some people say is if you have a lazy athlete is gonna be a lazy athlete regardless. You can put whatever percentage on the sheet, they're gonna do whatever they want to anyway. So it's what I found was let me if depending on the cue and how I say it, they'll be able to figure out how much weight should be on the bar. So I've said, I want you to jump as high as you can with this weight on your back, but I barely want you to leave the floor. And like I said, they're like, okay, they'll go put some weight on the bar, they'll jump. Oh, I jumped too high. All right, let me go ask more. So it's like, it's a lot of almost like a puzzle piece. Let me start, see if this fits. Let me see if this fits. I know it's not ideal, but I think as us as strength coaches, a lot of times we overthink a lot. As far as percentages, rep schemes, and whatever it may be, loading, fatigue, all this. But sometimes you need your athletes just to go to work. And honestly, what I found, the less I've thought about the percentages and the rep schemes and all this and that, the better I think my coaching has been, and the better the athletes have received it. Because I'm not throwing them down. I'm not putting all these stipulations on them. They kind of just get to the weight room and just going. I mean, I did it the other day with our deadlift. I was like, we're going to go all off the script. And I mean, they loved it. I mean, usually we work between 75 and 90%. But I was like, I want y'all to go off the script. Four singles off the script. I mean, some guys went lighter, some guys went heavier. But I mean, if you've built a relationship with your athletes, they'll know you got their best interests in mind. So they're going to do whatever you tell them to do. But that's just kind of how I see it.
Absolutely, man. And I just kind of thought about that because I'm being in the wrestling background too. I was like, okay, there's weight classes. You know, you don't want to put the same weight for your heavyweight guy as you do your, you know, one, I think it's 118 now or 125 wrestler, you know. I didn't know if you had a way to like 80% of their body weight should be this and then find out, you know, whatever. I'm a math guy, man, so I like numbers, so.
But honestly, they all kind of like it's almost kind of weird. So like right now with my classes and with the wrestlers and all season group, I haven't assigned racks or anything because like I haven't tested this semester. So they've been going on wherever, and they all tend to know where they should be. Like our lightweights go with each other, the heavyweights go with each other, and in the classes you'll see our linemen go together, our skill guys go together. So it's like it's they're our student athletes are a lot smarter than we give them credit for a lot of time.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And one thing about wrestling is I think it's really good for athletes, man. You're put into some weird positions. You're going to have to be an athlete on the mat, and there's no one else besides you. It's just you and the guy or the girl in front of you. I don't know if y'all have girl wrestlers in South Carolina, but I wrestle up in Illinois, so wrestling is huge in the north for some reason. That's that's their big winter sport. When it comes down to the south, I don't hear a lot of states incorporating wrestling into their athletics program. There's some private schools that do here in Tennessee. Not a whole lot of public schools do it here. I think it's really good for athletes, man. I don't know what
Sure.
your take is, but I think it's really good for athletes.
I mean, looking back, like me not wrestling in high school is one of my biggest regrets. I know everybody talks about this specialization thing, or you shouldn't specialize. And I, in my opinion, if you're in a good strength and conditioning program, if you play one sport, you'll be fine. Now, if you're in a bad strength and conditioning program, you probably do need to go play some other sports. If all you're doing is lifting every single day, you don't sprint, you don't do any change direction work, you don't do any jumps, you probably need to go play some more sports. But then also what I realized is not everybody is going to be good at other sports. I mean, we have a guy, he'll go play college football, and he wrestles for us. And I had to convince him to wrestle. I mean, I was like, you're already a pretty good tackler, but once you learn wrestling, and I mean, he's one of the starters, I was like, you're going to be able to tackle anybody on the field at all already. But he wants to run track too. And like, everybody's like, oh, if you run track, you'll get faster. And it's like, just because you're on the track team, that means you'll get faster. Still kind of depends on what kind of program your coach is writing. How's the practice schedule? Are they managing fatigue? Are you running dark horse workouts all the time? But I know he's talking about he wants to run track. And I was like, I love you to death, but you are not a sprinter. You're going to be out there jumping. And it's just, that's the way God made you. You're a jumper. Like I said, I know I'm on a specialization tangent, but I know everybody tries to use like the elite athletes. Pat Mahomes did this and that. Aaron Judge did this and that. No matter what they did, they were going to be successful. They were genetic freaks from the day they were born. So trying to use the NFL players, the NBA players, MLB as like a reason to play multiple sports. But I do encourage, I like the experiences you get to play other sports, like you, especially like getting to learn, like every team has a different heartbeat, different kind of culture, get to be around different types of people. And then also, like I said, the life experience. And I wish I had played baseball. I wish I had done all these cool things. But like I said, I always say I played the easy sports. I played football and ran track. Like you can get away with kind of playing hard, a little effort in those sports. I didn't really get to play in the cool skill-based sports, but and like I said, I turned out all right. Like I still went to play Division I football, still had an opportunity to sign a professional contract. But the biggest thing for us, even though I did specialize for 2 to 3 years in high school, I was in a good strength and conditioning program. I worked the change of direction, I worked different body movements, I worked mobility. So yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that as well, but just because like you get exposed to different movements and different sports as well. Now, if you're in a good strength condition program, and they have someone that's qualified, whatever that is, nowadays, inside your room, you're changing direction, you're sprinting, you're doing max velocity stuff, you're doing plyometrics, you're doing power production, you're doing strength work. That's kind of the basics of what that strength program looks like. So if that's not present, you can go on and play different sports and get that stimulus from practice. Get maybe possibly, have someone that really cares about, getting stronger or getting faster and looks at those metrics and, does what we do on a much smaller scale as well. But yeah, I totally agree. And the NFL thing where, yeah, Patty Mahomes played four sports in high school, man. I've seen it to where like they post like, look at so and so's workout, and the only one that I think is like halfway, not halfway decent, but the only one I think is like really good is CMC,
Oh,
Christian
his
McCaffrey.
work.
His speed work is immaculate, man.
Like I said, I posted that video to my like strength Instagram page, and it's me like, I promise you, I know what I'm doing. Like a lot of these movies you see, we've done before. You may not look like him, but we're doing our best to get you to the best that you can be. But I mean, with that, when you look at him, that's what happens when you combine good strength conditioning practices with somebody that's already genetically enhanced. I mean, what Brian Kula does with him, like, it's amazing. So I'm a big Brian Kula fan. I use his Bounce Fire series every on our acceleration days. I didn't think I would be able to bring it to the high school sector. That's because I mean I do it in the private sector a lot. I'm doing it kind of taking me a little bit longer to teach it in the high school sector because it's like I said, the abilities in your high school is going to be so vast. Like you'll have a kid that's destined to be a Power Five athlete. You'll have a kid that can't skip. You'll have a kid that can't tie shoelaces or so it's like I'm trying to teach on a scale to where everybody kind of picks it up and that's kind of the way I am right now teaching that Mount Spire series.
Yeah, man, and I don't think some people realize like strength and conditioning is teaching, and you want to talk about like the academic terminology. It's like teaching geometry, trig, pre-calc, and algebra all in the same class. And you're like, how do you teach it all these different? And how do you, what's it called, differentiate your instruction to little Jimmy that's like 4 or 5 as a freshman, didn't know from left from right, and you got the senior offensive left tackle that's getting recruited by Alabama. How do you teach all of those levels in the same room and say, well, you're going to do this, what this person's doing that, but I want to do this and I want to do what I don't know, man. It's high school strength conditioning is very, very unique.
Yeah, like, but like, so I did an intern. Oh, I forgot. So I did an internship at Furman University with Andre Bernardi. He what he did for me in the short time I was there, like he's done like wonders for my career. I still keep in contact with him. And being in the college level, even for a short time I was at the intern, like I feel like obviously at a Division I university as talented as Furman, I mean they're top four in the country in the FCS. And I mean they're getting guys drafted, getting guys at these all-star games. I mean a lot of times like you're coaching, but it's like something simple like hey push your hips through here. All right. Take one more step here. But in high school it's like all right, I need you to do this, and that, and this. All right, you fixed that. Now you messed that up. All right, so let's bring this back down even more. So I found myself I'm coaching a lot, even compared to the private sector, because in the private sector with the groups I work, like I said, I work the elite high school group. So these are kids that had the potential to go to college. So they already have a coordination base. Some of them do have a weight room base. So even sometimes with them, I mean, me and my the guy I work with, sometimes I'm like, did we talk today? I was like, he's like, we didn't have to. They kind of understand. So we'll be standing there. I was like, I feel like I didn't do anything. But it's like, I mean, that's what you want, like for them to be self-sufficient. Like I can walk out of the elite group at 11-11 and not worry about it. I can write something on the board and they'll get it done. College and high school, I can't do that. Maybe
Yeah.
my football class first block, but second and third block, absolutely not.
Yeah, man. I mean, you do a lot of coaching in the high school realm, man. And I think about this time, like, I had a football guy, a freshman. I tell him, it's like, all right, man, we're doing RDLs. I'm like, all right, man, push your hips back. And then his back looks like this, like,
Rounded
downward.
up.
Yeah, and just rounded up. And I was like, no, let's squeeze your shoulder back. All right, cool. So he does that, whatever. And then he squats instead of does the RD. I'm like, no, now push your hips back. And oh man, it's unique, man. But some of the, I think it's more rewarding in the sense that and you get to see, if you have the blessing of working with middle school up to high school, you get to see, 4, 5, 6 years of your program, your process of developing athletes, man. I mean, that's got to be rewarding.
I mean, yeah, like I'm seeing it now with the private sector because I mean, the two of my, let's see, three of them. Yeah, so two baseball guys and one softball girl. They've been training with me, so they were sophomores. The softball girl is already committed to college. And then the other two, they'll definitely have an opportunity to go play in college. And I'll be like looking at my phone from like them and it would have been 2022. And like, I found his like first ever like, single front squat, and I was like, "Oh, this was so bad." And this, and now he's able to front squat, close to 330 pounds, and it's the size of him, and it's just like, I mean, it's cool because you end up building relationships with him. So this, like I said, I told him y'all's last workout this summer. I'm probably gonna have to go in the bathroom and cry because, like I said, you see him. I've seen him every day for almost 2 years, so it's gonna be hard to see him leave. But and then, like you talk about, it is rewarding, especially. I mean, I'll get kids in the beginning that are kind of shy, or are not. They're not the most coordinated. But sometimes I'm like, if we're doing a warm up and I see them skip, I'm like, you can skip now. Like you couldn't skip the first day of class. Or like I said, you'll have a kid tell you how much they appreciate you, and it's like, I thought you hated me. You never said a word to me. So like I said, being in high school is definitely rewarding, especially because like what you do in high school, like a lot of these kids do come from nothing. A lot of these kids have problems at home, or they deal with so much other stress from school. So me being a strength coach, I always say I'm either the most liked person in the building or the most hated, depending on which day it is. So I love it. It's rewarding. Like I said, getting kid build confidence. So a story from last semester. There was a girl. She came into my class kind of late. I want to say about 2, 3 weeks late. And she first came in, I was like, oh, she's not gonna do anything. Like, she's gonna be lazy. And worked out pretty hard. And it was like one of our last few workouts of the semester. And I caught her in the mirror flexing. I was like, okay, yeah, I got her.
Cool, man. It's really good to see like that confidence build in some athletes, because there's some and you got at least a good coaching eye. You can see kids walk through the door, and you just by body language, you can see who's got confidence, who's gonna walk with some swagger, man, but who's also gonna show up in the corner and not say a word either. And it's kind of nice to see some of those kids kind of burst out of their shell. From not even talking all semester, or you catch them flexing in the mirror, like, man, I look good, or anything like that, man. It's remarkable to see.
Sure. And then, like I said, so to begin last semester, I went through a bit of a struggle where I was like, I almost felt like I didn't have a purpose. 'Cause, I mean, my first block was a girls' weightlifting class, which had a lot of female athletes, and I had team sports. And then my other two classes were general, like weightlifting classes. And I just felt like I wasn't getting anything out of those general weightlifting classes. I was like, I don't feel like I feel like they don't want to do this. Like, I feel like I'm trying to give all this passion and all this and that, and then it gets to the end of semester and I'm getting like Christmas gifts and I'm like, oh my God, y'all love me and all this and that. And then this semester I got a great group of even the general education weightlifting class, and it's kind of brought me back to life. Like, okay, I have a purpose here. Because like I said, it can be hard. Like, I mean, I think it was last week or 2 weeks on Twitter. I'm sure our Twitter feed is about the same. It was the debate on if regular, not, I hate to say regular students, but non-athletic students should be in a weights class with the with athletes. I don't mind it. As long as I get the not students that actually want to be in there. Because I had told our admin, I was like, I literally can't do my job if you give me somebody that doesn't want to be in here. I was like, I don't care if I have five students. If you give me five students that want to be in here, we'll see progress. They'll have the best time of their life. I was like, but if you give me 40, but only 10% want to be in there, you're kind of time.
So your idea of purpose, man. I mean, going from, basically, what am I doing here, or what am I doing is serving, our athletes or anything, right? To having that, I guess, that realization or that confirmation of I'm doing the right thing. This is where I'm supposed to be at this point in time, man. What gives you the most purpose inside your room? What actually drives you to come back in that weight room every day?
What I always just try to tell myself that somebody in this room needs me. I don't know if it's somebody needs somebody's needs. If somebody's a little bit faster, they'll get a scholarship. Somebody's a little bit stronger, they'll get a scholarship. Somebody gets this lift done, they'll brighten their day. Somebody needs to see me smile because they don't see a smile at home. Somebody needs to know that I love them because nobody's ever told them they love them before. And that's kind of just the way I see it. Somebody in that building needs me during the day. I mean, I got students I know and teach know me, come talk to me. I went through my own kind of like mental health struggle in the past few weeks. Like, I'm realizing now that over my whole life I've been dealing with symptoms of anxiety, and I had no clue. Like, and but then all of a sudden it all hit me, and like I said, I was open with my athletes, open with my students, and tell them like I'm struggling right now, but seeing y'all is kind of helping me get through that. And they pour love into me and let me know how much they appreciate me. And I mean, that's the coolest thing, like to let them know that me as a strength coach, I struggle. I'm struggling hard right now, but that y'all are keeping me up right now. Y'all are keeping me sane. That's been huge. And I think me being open with them is letting them know that I'm not just a big bad strength coach. Like, I want to know what struggles you have. I want you to see me vulnerable. I want you to know that I'm not just a person that's here with a whistle. Like, I care about you wholeheartedly. Like I said, like I tell them all the time, like, I usually put a some type of quote, some type of picture up on the slide every single day, and it always has a purpose behind it. And I had one, I used the Jon Snow picture from the Battle of the Bastards when, the whole army's charging at him. And I was like, what are you gonna do? I said, that army charging at you right now, that's your family member that doesn't talk to you. That's a class you failed. That's a parent that doesn't love you. That's a opponent. I said, so how are you gonna respond? I was like, are you gonna run away from it? Are you gonna stand there wholeheartedly and deal with it? So I try to relate everything I do to life. I had a strength coach that Matt Frederick. He was a strength coach at Belmont for a while. He's done with that now. But when we would squat, I mean, he would do some crazy things. I mean, like, he would, like, looking back, I'm like, how did we do that? So he would have like 80%, 80 to 90%. He'd be like, I want you to hold it for 5 seconds at the bottom. We're like, what? 5 seconds at the bottom. And then he would say, if it gets too hard for you, figure it out. And then, like, obviously in your mind, you're like, okay, cool, like, figure it out, whatever. But then, like, that's kind of life. Like I tell him, I was like, life's gonna happen. Like, I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what next week holds. So when something gets too difficult, I have to figure it out. And I think the weight room can kind of teach you some of those things. I think the weight room can be a good teacher because you get it, you get out of it what you put in. Like, if I'm trying to teach them, like, if I put good energy into the world, if I put positive energy into everything, positive would come back to me. So I talked to somebody this morning. They're like, how are you dealing with your struggles right now? I was like, well, I'm kind of putting it into my strength conditioning journey. I'm putting it into telling people I love them. Putting it into getting closer with my family. So that negative, that dark cloud can leave. Like, if I sit in darkness all the way, it's going to be darkness. It's not going to change. But if I try to put some lighter in the world and be around light, everything will lighten up.
Remarkable, man, remarkable. And circling back to, like, I guess that Twitter, the X, whatever you want to call it, debate that we were talking about earlier, of if athletes should be in with our or non-athletes should be in with our athletics when they lift and whatnot. I like to refer back to Tyler Franklin, who is in Kentucky. I don't know if you know him. He's a great guy. He's the state director for the NHSCA for Kentucky as well. But he calls all of his kids athletes. So if there's a kid that doesn't play sports, he's a non-athlete. He just calls them athlete that doesn't play sports. It's kind of funny like that. But I mean, if you want to talk about like inclusion too, including your kids into what we're doing, I mean that's such a great way to kind of bring, I guess, camaraderie into your own setting. Yeah, they don't play a sport, or compete or anything, but they still attend the same school. They still got the same teammates or classmates, whatever. So, but yeah.
I mean, like I said, this build like I everybody always says you want to be a good coach, you need to learn, you need to actually connect with them. I mean, one of the coolest things is so when I was actually going through the week, the struggle hit me the hardest. Like, there was nobody in the weight room, and like I was sitting at my desk, and I'm like finna be in tears. Like, I'm this stressed out. I'm having panic attacks here and there, and one of my athletes comes through the door, who I have in the class. I'm like, what are you doing here? He's like, I just want to come talk to you. And like, I don't know, like, at that point, like, it just kind of brightened my day up. Like, I was like, this kid just here, just talk. Like, didn't want anything, didn't this literally came in, just sit there and talk to me, like, the whole time. Like, nothing like, coach, what can I do to get better? Coach, how do you think I did this and that? He was just literally there just talking to me. And now what I've done, like I said, I'm trying to, like I said, I'm letting them know, like I said, it's all right to struggle because we're all gonna struggle. I bought this what's the word called? Manifestation coloring book. So I was like, if you ever get stressed out, or if it's during a workout, if it's before school, after school, if you just need to need something to do, I was like, so this manifestation coloring book, and it has like something like, I'm strong, I'm capable, things are gonna be better for me. And I have students that have come by, and I've given a coloring book sheet. I've been doing it myself, and it's been great. I told I told some of them, I said, it's actually de-stresses you because it requires so much attention. You can't stress about it because, like, I mean, there's so many lines.
That's a good idea. I never thought about that, or, you know, bringing that into my own setting. So I like that.
Yeah, I mean, because, like, I tell them in the weight room, I was like, this room, I want you to be yourself. I was like, obviously, don't go. I said, don't go in your dog algebra class and act a fool. I was like, but if your personality is you need to act a fool, if that is what's going to let you enjoy this setting, act a fool. As long as you're doing it and keeping everybody, you're not endangering anybody, not keeping me from coaching, not distracting anybody, and everything we need to get done can get done, I want you to completely be yourself. I was like, I want you to feel comfortable talking to me. I mean, it's been times, like, I've had plenty of days where I've had to, you know, take somebody in my office and be like, what's wrong? And they're like, oh, well, I'm having problems at home and or this and that, or I haven't eaten in such and such days, or so. Like I said, I try to see my purpose more as just a strength coach. I put on Instagram the other day, if all my athletes do is remember me as a strength coach, then I failed them completely.
Yeah, man, that's a powerful statement. Just because, you know, I think we kind of get lost in this limelight of being a strength coach, and this is my identity. This is, I'll, you know, breathe and die on this hill of being, you know, whatever. But, you know, I think there's so much more to that role than just getting kids strong, getting kids fast, and being ready for sports. You know, I've had, you know, a few athletes contact me, not even just to, you know, hey, can you help me get recruited? Or, hey, can you help me train? It's like, hey, I'm struggling right now. Can I talk to you? It's like, you are a mentor. You are, if you want to use the word leader, you're there for a reason. And I wholeheartedly believe the places that you go, you're there for a reason. Now, the reason's unknown. You know, it could be mysterious because, you know, God works in mysterious ways, man. And I've seen it firsthand. But, you know, the places you go, you're there for a reason. And the relationships that you build are there for a reason. You know, I like seeing that full circle moment too.
But like I said, it's been amazing. Like, I love being back at Weyhampton. And then, like I said, not even like speaking on relationships on my private sector side. I mean, the kid that I'll have that's, you know, he's been the state player of the year. He's been all region, all state multiple times, and he'll go off to college. I think one day I was just on Instagram and I'm looking, I was like, am I in your profile picture? He was like, yeah. Like, he's like, my profile picture is me and you. I'm like, wow. Like, so like stuff like that happens. And it's like, it's bigger than X's and O's. It's bigger than bar jumps. It's bigger than cleans. It's bigger than bench press. It's bigger than deadlift. It's bigger than front of back squats. Like that, it's all right. And then like I say, if you build a relationship with these people, they'll do anything. You can tell them, I want you to run with your hand on your head and put your other hand behind your back, they'll do it. So if you want to see a little bit, if you want some good outputs from your training, let them know that you love them too, because they'll do anything for you.
Absolutely, man. All right, let's go ahead and start wrapping some things up here. I always end the episodes with Conjugate Coach Spotlight. So is there any coach in the strength conditioning field that you want to shout out or highlight?
Man, all of my strength coaches for sure. Curtis Whaley, Matt Frederick, Chris McCormick, Trent Caldwell, Dylan Horn. Man, the list can go on and on. Like, I've had so many. Andrew Coleman, Coach Fournet. It's like you end up with great strength coaches. And I was lucky enough to be one of the athletes that would have great strength coach. I know some college athletes will leave college and be like, oh, my strength coach was terrible. Like, getting to be around the guys that I named and a few of them I didn't get to name, they let me, like, they're the reason I'm a strength coach. I got to be around people like Coach Whaley. Coach Whaley is somebody I talk about all the time. Like, Coach Whaley be a guy I invite my wit. Like, I love him to death. Like, when I was injured that year, I would spend so much time with him, like, twice a week. Just me and him in there. He was there at Garden Webb my freshman year, and then he came back to us my senior year, and I, like, he remembered me completely, and he was only there with me for that summer. And like, I was like, when we brought in 16 guys that that freshman summer, and I was number 16. There was no doubt. I was number 16. And like I said, I wasn't. They didn't think I was gonna play. They thought I was gonna be a practice squad player. Like I wasn't gonna. Nobody ever expected me to play. But the fact that he remembered me and always showed me love, and like I said, I still talk to him to this day. And a lot of my coaching personality comes from him. Like if anybody that's ever been around him, that everybody talks positively about him. And then Coach Bernardi, like I said, he took a chance on me. So how I got involved with Furman, I was at a their strength conditioning clinic about a year ago, actually. And I was sitting there and I was listening, and I think it was Coach Stedergren from South Carolina was talking. He was saying, if you want to go into the college sector, you probably need to work in it. Or he said something along the lines. I talked to him after, and I was just sitting there, and Bernardi walks by, and I was like, at this point, I don't know if like what I want to do is like I'm in this private sector, but obviously I want to get to the team setting. I miss the team setting, and I just stop him. I'm like, I was like, Coach Bernardi, like I'm Antoine McCray, like, you don't remember me, like I know you don't, but I took a visit to North Greenville, and you were like the first college strength coach I've ever seen in person, and I was like, and everybody talks well about you, and you're doing a great job here at Furman, and like, if there's any way possible, I could just come in and help out, even if I've got to be a fly on the wall or whatever it is. And he was like, well, send me your resume and all this and that, and we'll get rolling. And so that it was that Saturday I talked to him. By Monday, I was working with him at Furman. And getting to talk to him, and he's always had my back. He still checks in with me. And like he didn't have to do that. Like this is a kid that's at it. Like a kid literally at your clinic just stops you, and you're like, sure. Like, and luckily, I had when I was at Lenoir Rhyne, his assistant was the head strength coach at Lenoir Rhyne, so he was able. That was a reference for me. But yeah, what he did for me, kind of awakened me up to wanting to be back in the team setting, which is really why I decided to go back, go to high school, or like I say, if I'd have went to college if the opportunity was there. But the team setting is special. Getting to be a group of guys, group of girls together, working towards one goal. Especially for me in the high school world, I don't get to separate by sport. So I'll have to have, baseball team together with the soccer team, with the football team, and that camaraderie, it makes a difference. Like if you want to see the culture of your school improve, watch your athletics improve, and everything else will come up. You'll have less discipline issues. There'll be less referrals written. There'll be less people late to school. There'll be more people at your games. The community will donate a little bit more money. So I get to do that. I get to have everybody all together at one time. So it's special.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Well, Antoine, again, I want to thank you for taking the time to be on, man, and just chopping it up, man. I that's one of the reasons why I started this podcast was just to just absorb information and just to talk and connect with, coaches outside of the Twitterverse or the Xverse, whatever you want to call it nowadays. And just being in here and being able to just chop it up, man, it's remarkable.
Definitely. I appreciate you having me on. You've had some big names on here, so to have my name in here with it. You had my man Joey G on here. Like I say, I've never met him personally, but I may as well have interned for him. I've taken every course he's had, everything he puts out, I look at. So like I said, to be on there with guys like that, I'm honored.
Absolutely, man. Keep on doing what you're doing, man. People have said some really good things about you. Just keep going, man. Keep pushing.
Will do.
Absolutely, man. And that's another episode of the Conjugate Chats. Please follow our social medias at Conjugate Coach Podcast on Twitter and TikTok. Also, follow Antoine on his social medias as well. In the name of strength, stay strong and have a day today.